Paramahansa, Paramahansa, all Sutta, Satashi, Shima, His Divine Grace, Alaya Chananana, Bhaktivedanta, Gosvami, Mahashila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Jai, Ananda Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda, Jai, Acharya, Srivamidas, Thakur, Jai, Param Seiko, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadha, Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopata Sayam Kun Radhakunta Giri, Govardhan Kija, Vrindavan Kija, Churam Kija, Navad Vipadam Kija, Vrindavasami Kija, Yonamai Kija, Shimati Tolosi Devi Kija, Sveta Bhakta Vrindika, Gaur. All glories the assembled of Lord Jesus. All glories the assembled of Lord Jesus. All glories the assembled of Lord Jesus. All glories to She, Guru, and Go, Randa, Shila, Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. Om Maganathi, Miranda, Shah, and Anjana. Shilakaya, Chakshuru, Minikam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave, Namaha. So I mentioned we're going to continue with our study of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers, eight prayers called the Shikshashtaka prayers, which means the eight prayers of instruction. So first, for those of you who don't know who Lord Chaitanya is, I think it's important for me to give a brief introduction. So in each and every yuga, Krishna appears. And in each and every yuga, Krishna teaches something called the Yuga Dharma. Because different religious or spiritual practices that are appropriate for particular eras may not be appropriate in other eras. Mm-hmm. For example, the meditational system that was taught in the Satya Yuga is not appropriate where you sit for thousands of years. You know, obviously, thousands of years is a little bit too much for us, right? It's a little hard to do yoga postures in my age, what to speak of thousands of years. So, it's not appropriate. And also, opulent temple sacrifices, you know, big opulent sacrifices and opulent deity worship. Of course, we do have somewhat opulent deity worship, but not as much as they had in the previous yuga. They're not appropriate for this yuga. And also because people are less fortunate, manda, samanda, matayo, manda bhagyu patrata. They're less fortunate, short-lived, stupid, sorry. And really bewildered, and also their leaders, we're talking about political leaders, are really challenged in Kali Yuga. I'll leave that one alone. So, because of that, you need something really simple. As they say, keep it simple, sadhu, the KISS philosophy. So real simple is just chant Hare Krishna. And then your life will be perfect. Mm-hmm. So, it is a fact, just chant Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us not only to just chant Hare Krishna, but how to chant Hare Krishna. And he taught us in these eight prayers, and we've already gone over four of the prayers. One day we did two, the next day we did another two, that is one, two, three, mm-hmm. four. And today we're going to do five and six, and maybe next time we'll do seven and eight, but we'll see. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first offered these prayers in order to teach people how to approach Krishna. Because in approaching Krishna, there are different stages. It's not that you just go to Krishna and say, Hi, Krishna. You could. But you have to be qualified. It's like if you want to see an important personality, whether they're a music star, a politician, whatever, you have to have some particular qualification. Of course, that's a material qualification. But in order to see Krishna face to face, in order to shake Krishna's hand, because Lord Brahma was able to shake Krishna's hand, as described in the Bhagavatam, then you have to be qualified. So there's a whole hierarchy, a whole progressive methodology of approaching Krishna. And this methodology is given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I'll read this Sanskrit, and then I'll give you the translation. Ado sharatata saru sangota bhajanakriya. Tato nartana vritti shatatodishta vichistata tasaktishtato bhava. Tata prima vayunjata. Sadakamayam prima tadabhavi pravetkrama. So he says this is the process. Because there is a process in approaching Krishna or being spiritual. Normally people think, at least the thought was there when I was young, that in order to be spiritual, just what? Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. That was called the hippie consciousness in the 1960s and 1970s. But to be successful at anything materially, there is a process. Like if you want to go to the university and graduate, there's a process. You've got to take the test. You've got to please your professor. It's true. Offer your obeisances, please, my dear. PhD, you know. I will serve you a loaded seat if you need to. Great. No, not exactly. But you have to please the professor by doing well. So then you can graduate, then you can get your PhD or whatever. So in the same way, to progress in spiritual life, there's a authorized process. It's not a difficult process. Adoshrata. In the first step, or with the first step, you're just interested, and you have a little faith. Hey, maybe this is good. And then tata sadhu sangota. Then you begin to associate with those who are spiritualists. And then, when you associate with people, you start to do what they do, right? Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said if you associate with people who are drinking, then you will... We're not talking about water. If you associate with people who are in the, drinking liquor, then you will start drinking it after a while. It is a fact. And that's why in the state of Uttar Pradesh, we have a very nice a chief minister who's trying to get rid of all the liquor stores, much to the chagrin of some of the people who are selling liquor. Anyway, so if you associate with people drinking liquor, if you associate, if you go to the stock market, and you associate with people who are buying and selling, after a while you go to the horse races, not that you should, then you're going to start doing that. So associate with spiritualists, then bhajana kriya, you start doing what they're doing. You know, it's kind of hard to stay asleep when they're chanting at 4:30 in the morning. I remember when I first partook of the Krishna conscious process, one of the hardest parts was waking up at the ungodly hour of 4 o'clock in the morning. But you didn't have a choice, because if you were staying in the temple, they woke you up. So you had to go. So that's bhajana kriya. So we woke up and we chanted, and for the first few months it was a little bit of a challenge getting up so early in the morning, and basically we had to pinch ourselves to stay awake. Fortunately we didn't have too many black and blue marks over our body, but anyway, so we had to do that. So bhajana kriya, and then by doing this bhajana kriya, then you get rid of things you don't want. And what don't you want? Nardhanavritti. You don't want lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. These things are making you miserable. They don't make you happy. So you get rid of those, and then you become steady. Steady means that instead of someone having to shake you to wake you up in the morning, get up, get up, get up. Then you get up automatically. Haribo! You get up every morning. In the beginning, it's just like, oh, I hate that alarm clock. And you get a snooze, you know the snooze feature on the alarm clock? You keep pushing it until it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. It's another 20 minutes. So, after a while, it becomes spontaneous, or you become fixed in it. And then you get a taste for it. So then, getting up in the morning, and or performing your bhakti, like chanting, not that you all have to get up in the morning, I don't want to scare any of you away from Krishna consciousness. Say, oh my God, it's not for me. So, then it becomes so pleasurable, you get ruchi. Ruchi means a taste for hearing and chanting, or a taste for Krishna consciousness. So that even if you have to get up in the morning, it's not necessary. Even if you have to get up, then you start dancing. You feel so much ecstasy that it's just wonderful. So then, after that, you get shakti. You get so attached to Krishna. After that, the next step is bhava. You experience ecstasy. We're going to talk about bhava today, if we ever get to it. This is all introduction, actually. So then you get bhava, and then finally you get prema. You fall madly in love with Krishna, with God. And that's the love of God. So, and anyway, this is the these are the various steps. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us how to achieve each particular step. And each one of these verses of the Shikshastra refers to particular steps. In addition, these verses are manifestations of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy during his final manifest activities or pastimes on this earth. And today I was reading in preparation, reading from the final portion of Srila Prabhupada's translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone heard of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? No. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book written about the pastimes, the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Amrita is nectar. So, in these final chapters, we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibiting, because he is Krishna himself in the moon of Srimati Radharani, exhibiting the topmost symptoms of ecstasy. In fact, he is so ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. He's God. Let me explain this further. He's God and he wants to experience ecstasy that God normally doesn't get to experience. You know the one thing that God's missing? He's missing, which is missing us too. That's another thing. But he's missing the experience when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. He was missing the experience of being a devotee. And he was seeing, these devotees are enjoying more than me. This isn't fair. So in order to experience that ecstasy, he takes the position of a devotee. And also in order to teach us a devotional service, like a teacher has to sometimes act like a student to teach the students how to learn. So he experiences this ecstasy. So in his mood as a devotee, he's experiencing the topmost ecstasy. It's called Mahabhav. That's just a technical word. It means great emotion, big emotion. Like you say, Maha. We use the word Maha all the time. Like Maha Prasad. Maha Prasad means the prasadam that was on the deity plate, and the devotees are always anxious after to take some of it, especially if it's sweets. They call that Maha Prasad. So, and also Maha Prasad is even better. That's the prasad that was offered to Krishna, taken by Krishna's great devotee, and you get to partake of it afterwards. And I remember taking the Maha Prasad to Srila Prabhupada. I even ate the grape stems, the orange rinds, and I would have eaten the plate too had it not been stainless steel. So one should be very, very anxious. You know, there's very powerful substances like the foot bathing water, the Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad, and the foot dust. Also, I took Prabhupada's foot dust when he walked on the beach, ate the sand. Nobody usually eats sand, but I ate sand. So, anyway, so Mahabhava means the great emotion. So, just a little description of Lord Chaitanya's experience or manifestation of these great emotions that he had to be watched over by his devotees because he was experiencing so much great emotions that he would just rush out of his room in the middle of the night and jump into the ocean. And one time a fisherman had to rescue him in the middle of the night. And Jagannath Puri, anyone's gone swimming in Jagannath Puri knows there's an undertow, a very quick undertow that it can, and it did carry Lord Chaitanya all the way to the sun god temple. Or not. All the way down there, you know. So he would jump in the ocean or run towards a sand dune, considering the sand dune to be like Govardhan Hill. Or, you know, envision Krishna in a particular park in Jagannath Puri. And so in this way, the devotees actually had to protect Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he was reciting these prayers to his devotees, at night, he had to keep someone, he didn't have it, but the devotees assigned someone to actually be like his pillow. His name was Shankara Pandit. And he actually had to be the pillow for Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he had to stay awake all night long just to guard Lord Chaitanya. And that's ecstasy. Of course, we will not come to that particular stage of ecstasy, don't worry. We need someone to guard us all night long. This is the topmost ecstasy. And in that mood of ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya was reciting these prayers. So in other words, there's an exoteric, that means an apparent instruction for us in the prayers, as well as Lord Chaitanya's internal mood in these prayers. So we're going to try our best to explain both of these things. And we've already gone through the first four prayers, so now we're going to go to the fifth prayer. And the classes on the first four prayers are available on my Facebook page. I don't do Twitter. That's for politicians. So let's continue. And we have this verse here. This is the fifth verse, and we're going to read it together. And so, ready? 1, 2, 3. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Pam Buddha Kripaya Tabadara Pankaja Siddhaduli Sakacham Vichitaya. Okay, and I guess we can do the word by word synonyms. I mean, I'll just read the word by word synonyms here. And so you can read along, but you don't read them out loud. Ayi means, oh my lord. Ananda Tanuja means the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna. Kinkaram, the servant. Patitam, fallen. Mam, me. Vishume, horrible. Baba, ambhudal, in the ocean of nations. Kripya, by causeless mercy, tavap, your padapankaja, lotus feet, stita, situated at duli satvarsham, like a particle of dust, vichintya, kindly consider. So in other words, let's take it from our standpoint, that Srila Prabhupada instructed us, because we're talking about chanting Hare Krishna, and we're talking about from our standpoint, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, instructed us that when we chant the holy name of Krishna, we should chant in the mood of a child crying out for his mother. Now, the interesting thing about a child and his mother, apart from other things, is that the child knows only his mother is his source of nourishment. And so if the child's tired, the child is hungry, the child is hot or cold or in pain, naturally he's crying out to his mother, because he doesn't think that, you know, he can do anything else, like go to Amazon.com and order some. You know, he doesn't have that much development yet. Of course, at my age, I don't cry out for my mother anymore. So in other words, that's his only focus. He's crying out. And he's crying out, the living entity, of course, let's take it to the living entity, is crying out because this material world is a place of suffering. Dukalayam Sashvatam, many verses in Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Brahma Bhuvanaloka Panavartino Arjuna. Mamu Pejitakondiya Punajamanda Vijate. From the highest planet to the lowest planet. Now, you may say, well, I'm young. Like I used to say, what is this talking about misery here? I'm young. I got a whole life ahead of me. What happened to your teeth? So, didn't have a fight, I hope. So, I have my whole life ahead of me. I'm young, energy, everything like that. But one day you'll be as old as me. And so, and then we see so many unfortunate things happening. People pass away, there's pain, there's anxiety, you know, the threefold miseries. Adiyatmik, Adibodhik, and Adibodhik. And so, this is an ocean. And in the ocean, I mean, sometimes you're swimming in the ocean, you think, oh, it's really nice, and then all of a sudden, what is that?
A shark.
A shark comes. I mean, I'll tell you a practical example. One, before I became a devotee, I thought I'd go meditate in the Bahamas. You know, my family owned an island in the Bahamas. I had a private plane. I landed on the island. But this is the life. So I said, beautiful ocean, everything like that. So then, I started to go swimming, and all of a sudden, you know, I saw all these sharks. I was like, oh my God, can't enjoy that. But let me enjoy at least the beach. And then I heard the sound of wild boars. And I just had to run inside the house. Oh my God, can't enjoy. So it's just like that. That the Tim and Yellowfish. There's an interesting story in the Bhagavatam about Markandeya Rishi. He wanted to see what the world was like. You know, Krishna's illusory energy. Krishna gave him that benediction, and he discovered himself in an ocean with Timangila fish. Timangila fish means fish that are so big they can swallow an aircraft carrier. So, you know, that's the world. You know, you're swimming sometimes, it's very nice, but other times, but you don't know what's going to happen. So anyway, don't want to destroy it. Just like my brother, he said, don't tell me about Krishna consciousness because you'll ruin my fun. You know, what do you say? Ignorance is bliss. So if you want to stay in ignorance, please don't listen to what I'm talking about right now. So, it's an ocean. It's an ocean. And you know, if you're not just living for the moment, if you look ahead, you know, a little bit, you'll see that it's a dangerous ocean. And then, so you cry out to Krishna. Help! This is basically our position right now. So when we're chanting, if you're on that particular stage of devotional service, you cry out for help. Krishna, help me. I, Nanda, Tanujab, I'm your servant. But somehow or other, I've forgotten it. I've fallen down. In other words, you did know you were a servant of Krishna, but you wanted to experience life in which you would imitate or be the center, like Krishna is the center. So you fell down into this world, you decided to imitate Krishna, and then help, get me out of here. And so that's the mood of chanting. I had none of it. But I'm your servant. Patita mam, but I found fallen down. Vishwamepa Bhavangudo, in this horrible Bhavangudo means this miserable bhava. You know, just like you have the word bhava, we were talking about bhavas or emotions before. So Baba rogue in this disease condition, diseased emotions. Bhavambudo, Kripaya, give me your mercy. Tava pada pankaja. So give me the shelter, because we're talking about feet here. So people who are not familiar with the Vedic culture may think, why do you talk about feet all the time? Is this a fetish? You know, fetish means when we're just thinking about feet, you know, you hang socks up, like that. No, because we talk about feet, because feet represents, one, a humble way of approaching someone, rather than just like, you know, staring them in the face. You know, you approach, like that. This is the Vedic culture, this is Indian culture. To approach humbly. Like the Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and Sanatana Goswami, first time they saw Lord Chaitanya, they put a straw, this is a cultural thing, a straw between their teeth. And they bowed down to Lord Chaitanya's feet. So this is indicates great humility. Also, feet indicate service. Not that they indicate, you know, just like looking at someone's feet, but to serve the feet. Pada Sevanam, that's one of the processes of devotional service. So therefore, fix me at one of the atoms at your lotus feet. That doesn't mean that you're just going to be like stuck there like with some super glue. And Krishna's feet is going to try to shake you off. Like when you go around Vrindavan, you get these big thorns this big. Right? They go through shoes. I mean, really amazing thorns, super thorns. And so, they get rid of the thing. So, to be at the feet also means, this is another point brought up by the Acharyas, that we are part and parcel of Krishna. Because we originally are connected to Krishna. We're the same nature of Krishna, and of course individual identity. But to be at the feet, or to be want to be back at the feet of Krishna, indicates that you're part and parcel. So this is from the external viewpoint. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's praying like this, he's taking on the mood of humility. Now, humility means not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. So, generally we think humility means to talk more about ourselves. I'm the most, there's like one time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You know, because we want to be prominent, we want to be seen. We have these, these mobile phones in which we take selfies all the time. Isn't that the most popular photo now is a selfie? Right? And you got selfie sticks, selfie this, selfie that. Anyway, so true humility. So Lord Chaitanya is showing this humility, even though he's God, and he's taken the position of being a devotee, and of course has the position of being a devotee, showing the mood of the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. Yet he's humbly saying, save me. So Lord Chaitanya also said, I am not a devotee. Why did he say that? He said, if I was a devotee, I would not be able to live. It's like someone who is madly in love. They cannot live without the beloved. And of course, that's exhibited in the seventh verse, which is Shashi, we'll get to maybe next week. I won't be here next week, but the week after. Shows this great mood of separation. So that's Lord Chaitanya's mood in devotional service. So we'll go on to the next verse. Oh, actually, I didn't do the translation. It was so enthusiastic. Sorry about that. Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Fruit of acts, let me translate that. We want the fruits of everything. And Krishna in the Gita says, even when we're serving him, we shouldn't be attached to the fruits of our activity. In other words, we shouldn't want to be appreciated for what we did. Oh, you did such a nice job. We should be attached simply to pleasing Krishna. So because of my fruit of acts, which entail karma, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please causelessly be merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So go on to the next verse, and then that'll be it for today. So the sixth verse, we can all do this together. Nayanam galudashudaya vananam gakudarudhyakira Ulaka kichitam bhagum kuda tavana gramne bhavishti. So, let's go to the words. So the word-by-word translation is Nayana means eyes, the eyes. Galadashrutharya, by streams of tears running down, vadanam, mouth. Kudkud, faltering. Rudya, choked up. Gira, with words. Hulaka, with erection of hairs due to transcendental happiness. Nichitam, covered. Vapu, the body. Kada, when. Tava, your nama, grahane, enchanting the name. Bhavishyati will be. And the translation is, my dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs of my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? So what's being described here are bhavas. We explained before, bhava means emotion. And the acharyas, our teachers in disciplic succession, have explained these bhavas in quite an elaborate way. Rupa Goswami, for example, puts bhavas or emotions into different categories, which is quite interesting. He first talks about vibhavas, and that's what's mentioned here, that simply by chanting your name, I feel this ecstasy. So, Vibhava means something that stimulates your ecstasy. For example, let's say you're a devotee of Krishna. If you see a peacock feather, what does it remind you of?
Krishna.
Wow, that was easy. If you see a flute, what does that remind you of? If you see a guitar, what does that remind you of? Maybe a flute. But anyway. So, that's good. The last one is not a vibhava. So, that's a material vibhava. So, that's the first step. And for a pure devotee, guess what? Everything reminds him of Krishna. What is that? Premanjana, Churita, Bhakti Vilochanena, Sampakshadaiva, Vidyeshu, Vilokiyanti, Yam Shaima Shandrama Chinchaguna, Swarupam Govindam, Adipurasham Tamam. With your eyes are tinged with love, everything you see reminds you of the beloved. Let's say someone is really in love with someone, a young man, with a young girl. Everything he sees, even if he sees a mobile phone, how does it remind him of his girlfriend?
Texting.
Well, she's speaking from experience. So the flower reminds him. She's a house. You know, buy a house for my girlfriend. Everything reminds him. So when one, it's a practical thing. But until you reach that point, there are other vibhavas. So, vibhava is the first emotional description. And some vibhavas are directly Krishna, some are indirectly Krishna, like Alambhina and Udipana. I'm not going to go into that description. And then after you get the vibhava, something that stimulates, then you get into anubhavas. That means what follows the stimulation. And that means you start jumping up and down in ecstasy and even like drooling at the mouth. And that's one of the anubhavas. And so you start experiencing more ecstasy. Then there's the sattvika bhavas, which are constitutional by nature. There's eight of those. And then the vyabhachari bhavas, which are 33, the uncontrollable emotions that occur without warning at any time in your Krishna consciousness. It's pretty nice, isn't it? And so these bhavas are what's in store for us. So this is what's being described here, the platform of bhavas. So a devotee should hanker for these things. This is called lalyam in Sanskrit. Lalyam means to hanker for the perfectional stage. Because if you don't want something, you're not going to strive for it. You have to have goals. One of the reasons that people don't make progress in Krishna consciousness is they take things ritualistically. That's called niyam agraha in Sanskrit. They take things ritualistically, and so they put themselves on automatic. We told this story before about the pilots who put their plane on automatic and they overshot the airport by 200 miles. So we do the same thing in Krishna consciousness. We put our self on automatic. Okay, wake up, dance. Okay, nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jai Jai Jai. Or anything we do, like you're just chanting Jai Radha Madhava. But it means Radha and Madhava are present in that prayer. That is, Radha and Krishna are present in that. Kunji Vihari, what are they doing? They're in the bushes. You shouldn't go there. So, they're enjoying loving exchanges. You showed up. Anyway, so all these prayers, everything we do has like a deep significance to it. And then, we should hanker for that connection. This is what this prayer is. We should hanker for that connection with the deep significance, and then everything becomes ecstatic. I hate to use that word. Pleasurable, ecstatic, happy, whatever. So everything we do in spiritual life, it's not a drag. A drag, I have to explain what that means. A drag means it's boring, it's dull, I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it. Anyone's heard that expression before? Been there, seen it, done it. It becomes very important because you're connected. So a devotee should hanker for that stage. So that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us here. When will that stage come? And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written it in a very elaborate, he's one of the great teachers, a very elaborate song, Kabe Halbe Bolo Seidi Namar. When will that come? When will my offenses cease? When will my Namaruchi, when will I have a taste for the name? Kabe Halbe Bolo Seidi Namar. That's Bengali. What does he mean? You're Bengali. When will that day come? So it's like that. You have to be greedy, because that greed can deviate us from Krishna consciousness if we're actually greedy for something mundane and material. So we transfer that greed. It's like that philosophy that people have nowadays, the secret, right? You've heard of that before? The secret. If you want something enough, they say you get it. Well, actually true. If you want something enough, you work for it, not that you sit back. I want it, I want it, I want it. You have to work for it. That's an indication that you actually want it, because if you don't work for it, that means you really don't want it. If you want something, then you work hard to get it, whether it's money, whatever it is. So this intense hankering has to be cultivated in our hearts for these spiritual symptoms, the spiritual emotions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also here is taking the position of someone who is very humble. Of course, he is already experiencing these emotions. But he is saying, thinking, I am not at all Krishna conscious. That's a devotee. A devotee is extremely humble. We see with Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was praised, Prabhupada, he would simply say, Hare Krishna. He wasn't interested in hearing his own praise. So, this is as far as we'll get today. So any questions or comments about any of these points in the Shikshastika? Questions, comments before we end? Yes, Rishikesh.
Gurudeva, normally once you're greedy, to have that genuine greed, you need to have that experience,
Yeah.
I know. I don't have any idea what this Krishna Bhagavan means. How can it be duty of it?
Well, I'll tell you how. Even if you do have experience, but he's being humble. He's an extremely humble devotee. So, because even in the beginning, there's this thing called the shadow attachment, that when one first comes in contact with Krishna, the person is immediately relieved from all distress. And the first time, I mean, many of us experienced it. The first time I went into a Hare Krishna temple, what was it 1968, before you were born? Or 69, whatever. And I didn't even know what was happening, but I felt happiness. I saw people running around a bush and bowing down to a bush. Something I'd never seen in my life, I thought, is this the Bible, burning bush and everything? No. They were running around Tulsi Day. And it all happened. So that's the first point. But even if you're not experiencing happiness, then we have something called role models. Role models means people you want to be like when you grow up. Like Srila Prabhupada. Like, that inspired me in Krishna consciousness. That, as the song goes, let me be as you are without desires or material aspirations. So, you see, that's why it's very important we understand Srila Prabhupada. This movement is based upon Srila Prabhupada's vision of making the whole world Krishna conscious. Sometimes people ask, why do we talk so much about Prabhupada? There's so many spiritual personalities. But Srila Prabhupada had this vision of changing the whole world and just practically can be unified under Srila Prabhupada's vision. So Srila Prabhupada's life, pastimes, activities are an inspiration. We're supposed to not imitate Prabhupada, but be like him. So I think like that too. You know, I want to be like, I want to please Prabhupada. I want to be like that without desires or ulterior motives. And so that's the source of longing or intense anger. Okay? So, if there's no other questions, or... Oh, yes, we have a question in the back there.
Hello, Mark. Hadi
Baba.
Thank you very much for nice class.
Thank you.
Similar to Gifu's question, from similar lines, he said, Patita Maam Vishane Bhavamudaya, I have fallen into this
horrible ocean.
So most of the time we don't even feel that. The world is such a nice place, everything is going so nice.
Just look on CNN. I mean, it's not that hard, you know, pick out your mobile phone and, you know, Google it. why don't we experience it? That's called Maya Sukaya. Because like you're riding the wave of the material energy. You know, sometimes you're going up and sometimes you're going down. I remember years ago, before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, my family took me on a roller coaster. It was the last time I ever went on a roller coaster. And that was nothing compared to the roller coasters they have nowadays. So, you know, going up, I thought, this is great, we're going up. And then I left my stomach at the top of the hill. One has to look to the future, not just live at the moment, you know, but look to the future. Because sometimes in the moment, everything seems to be going all right, and then the rug gets pulled out from under you. And ultimately, the rug is pulled out from under us in this world. You know, I'm not going to get into the details of material energy. So you look at it like that, so everything is going all right, but yeah, something's going to happen. You know, what is that rule that if something can go wrong, it will go wrong?
Murphy's
Law, that's right. So it's enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. Murphy's Law. So it will go wrong, you better guarantee that. And you see that, and also the real cause of suffering are not the material miseries. The real cause of suffering is we're separated from Krishna. Because we have this need. And what is our need? Our basic underlying need is for a loving exchange that can go on unlimitedly, increase unlimitedly. And this need is causing us pain in the heart at the present moment. You know, apart from the material miseries, you know, the disease, old age, and all that other nice stuff, it's that separation from Krishna. Because even if you eliminate birth, death, disease, old age in this material world, you'll still be miserable. Because you'll be separated from Krishna. There'll be an existential vacuum. Hope everybody understands what that means. So we need to connect with Krishna. We just need it. It's a basic soul need, not human need, soul need for everybody. And we can see that even with animals, talking about animals, when they hear Krishna's name, they become happy. You can see that. Just with a little animal, you know, dog or cat or whatever animal, you start chanting to them. And they don't even know what's going on. It's not that you brainwash them to join some religion. You put a dhoti on the dog. Tilak. Some people, I've seen people put tilak on their dogs. And neck beats. So, I mean, it is quite humorous what people do. So if you chant to an animal, they become happy. You see that they're lacking that. They're always going and looking for something, but their real lack is connection with Krishna. And so, remember that. Okay, I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam and we don't want to deprive anybody of their necessities in life. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.